This is the last call for all remaining passengers traveling to Australien.
Hi, welcome to the University of Potsdam podcast. My name is April, I'm 22 and from Australia, and I'm currently studying in Potsdam for 12 months.
So welcome to the international podcast series of the University of Potsdam. We are here together with April, Hendrik and me, Florian, and basically give you an overview of the collaboration between the UTS, also known as the University of Technology Sydney in Australia, mm-hmm. where April is actually from, mm-hmm. and Hendrik and me from the University of Potsdam, and more specifically the Hasso-Plattner Institute. And we came together, like now all in Potsdam, despite all of us being at both sides, so at UTS in Sydney, and now we come together in the beautiful summer of Potsdam to record and basically just see your findings of like, how is it on the other side and down under. So April, what's your first impression of like Potsdam in general, coming here in Germany, Europe?
Well, one of the main reasons that I chose to come to the University of Potsdam is the fact that the campus is literally a palace, so beautiful, and just because it was in such close proximity to Berlin, I thought that would be a really good asset for a fun year. And just to experience a lot of German culture, a lot of the kind of city culture that would be in Germany. My other options were Tübingen or like Regensburg, which are like a lot smaller, but I just wanted the city kind of life. Mm-hmm. First impressions of Potsdam, when I first got here, the weather was horrible. The whole park, everything in the park was dead. I was like, what have I done? This is terrible. It is so cold. What am I going to do? I've left all of my friends, my family for this.
But when did you arrive? In which month?
March.
Oh, okay.
So it was, for an Australian girl, it was cold. Mm-hmm. But
true.
I adjusted, yeah.
I mean, I just left Australia in winter and people are crying there.
They are, aren't they?
I'm going out, like, I'm sleeping with my window open and people are saying, like, you're ridiculous.
I know,
like,
I know.
It can't be true. Then again, we also arrived there, like, I think 1 year back in July, when it was also winter in Australia.
It was
warm. It was, stop it. Like, in the beginning when we arrived, I mean, you arrived 3 days later, I think it got better then, but we still arrived in the rainy season when it was, like, raining straight, and I was like, and I was expecting nice people and was like getting out at the central and was like, oh, without even overthinking, was like, true, I don't have internet here. So I was just like asking people, oh, is there no free Wi-Fi at the like central station? I was like, that's weird. And I started starting to speak to people from like the train station, which in hindsight was not the smartest idea, because those are the people that are annoyed by everyone asking them stupid questions.
Yep.
So I did not really get a good answer. But then kind of the Australian-ness kicked in. The first guy I met was like raining. I was like, bro, can you look up where like the student residency of the UTS is? And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm just about to pick up like a big Legos collector's edition, but I can quickly check it up for you. And despite the rain, it got like, was like the most positive experience, because he was basically bringing me to the university, mm-hmm. and then inside the university, the security guard was also so friendly. He's like, oh, you're German? I worked with a German before when I was still a truck driver. No, of course, I bring you there. I can take your suitcase.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's kind of like the
Your first day in Australia.
Yeah, it was my first hours in Australia. And that's a funny thing, right? It's like so random of what just happens, mm-hmm. like who you speak to.
Yeah.
And then again, like, I don't know, like how it was for you, Hendrik. Yeah, basically, everything else in between blurs kind of in the experience.
But I think my first like hour in Australia was also quite fun, because for me it was like, hey, I'm arriving here. It's late in the evening, so I think I arrived 8 p.m. or something like that, because I wasn't able to fly earlier. I knew that the next day the university would start with orientation week, so I knew that I didn't like get enough sleep in the plane, and I won't get enough sleep the next night, but I just have to figure out how to get to the student housing. And when I went out, I thought, well, it's Australian winter, so it should be quite cold, but somehow it was like not super cold, it was like spring weather in Germany, so I thought, well, it's fully okay. So I went also to main station, somehow figure out how to get there with like a couple of circles running through the city to like figure out where to actually go. But for me, it was quite nice. And I think I was a bit luckier than Florian, because for me, it wasn't raining. Because when I like met my flatmates, they said, hey, super nice, the weather now changed. But the first couple of days were so shitty. It was raining all the time. And now it's getting better and better. So I think I just arrived at the perfect timing, because from then on, the weather just improved.
Yeah.
And it was a great transition from like spring-like weather, which was winter in Australia, to getting warmer and warmer.
I think so too, yeah. Also at the second semester, where we went basically from like brilliant summer to winter, and was a little bit more depressing than the other way around.
Yeah.
Because when you finish study and you have like the time to travel, it's better if the weather's great as of now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's going to happen to me, because I'm going to have all of this lovely European summer and then go to Christmas cold. I've never experienced cold like that before. I don't know what to expect.
It's also funny though, like the expectations are so different, right? Like we had people arriving there with a maximum of one sweater, because they were like, Australia, it will be so warm, and everyone was freezing their ass off. And probably for you were like, I didn't bring enough sweaters either, right? Like,
Well, you go skiing in Australia and there'll be like, it's, when I say fake snow, it's like...
Yeah, the artificial snow that they're like...
And it can be 6 degrees and you're skiing.
Mm.
And I was here and it was -2 and snowing and...
You were like, what is happening here? Why is it so cold?
That's a good keyword. Like, fake is kind of also... I like when you said, like, that you were also coming, like, to Potsdam because it was, like, basically having the palace, like, this basically cultural richness, so much diversity. And then you have
Park
some...
Park is dead.
You have, like, you have something like Sydney, which looks pretty and has, like, very modern buildings, but also these... kind of like old maid buildings, but which just pretend to be like old. And it's funny, like, I mean, I still value that they kind of try to bring some culture in there, but it's very, very much different. And that's also like one of the things that get mentioned a lot by especially like Latin Americans, Europeans, is like, where's the culture in Australia? So that's kind of like
hard to define. Oh, it's such a young country.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Because we also define and relate culture so much with history. And Australia is just very different. But then again, it also depends where you go. Like, you see it if you go, like, to the museums in Canberra, or I was also, like, in Perth, and they have, like, these shipwreck museums where you basically see how the Dutch people, the sailors come there, and then basically the war memorials with, like, Anzac.
Yeah, so
there is a lot, but you just need to look out for it, and then again, probably don't judge that it's so, such a young country, because for us it felt a little bit ridiculous when it was like, oh, I have a holiday today. It's like... the king's birthday, like, which king? Or, like, the queen's birthday. It was, like, no one even knew which queen or king, which day it was actually meant.
Mm.
But then again, everyone was still happy of having, like, a bank day.
Oh, absolutely. Because I think Australia only federated in 1901, like, only became a country in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
But our indigenous culture is really rich, and I think people forget that that's, like, such a big part of Australian culture. Only recently has Indigenous culture been like at the forefront of all of our... Have you noticed?
Acknowledgement
of country.
Exactly.
And,
so,
and so many
like cultural dances and
cultural
things.
Cultural dances,
yeah.
Events,
yeah.
Museums that were focusing on this part
mm-hmm.
that looked like they were all super, super recently opened
mm-hmm.
to like make people aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Sydney is also like originally like part of the Gadigal Island. That's basically the indigenous part, if I understood it correctly. And you could see it a lot during... I was, like, volunteering and also part of just some events which where they have then, like, also, like, the natives actually speaking about up about it, or, like, a welcome day. They had basically, like, the very traditional music with, like, a show and them dancing. It's pretty cool because that's actually not what you have, like,
mm-hmm.
in the back of your mind, but... Then again, it's like you see also like still the difference because it has become a very like Western country. So mm-hmm. like especially, I think in Sydney it's like even less present. But if you go like to, for instance, Perth, I think especially like in the West it's more coherent. You can see also how many social problems arise there.
Definitely.
And I think they're just not that like spoken out that loudly as our problems here in Europe. We always like to kind of like speak about the problems of integration, etc. But I think it also has a lot to do with kind of like the culture.
I think it is also a really sensitive topic for a lot of people as well. So everyone, like I have noticed Europeans, Germans particularly, are very outspoken about a lot of political issues, but Australia is, but there's also the element of not wanting to overstep, especially if you're talking about it as a white person. you don't want to overstep the mark and be like insulting anybody. But I think our main like point of contention at the moment is Australia Day. Did you guys do an Australia Day?
I was there during Australia
Day. Yeah, so there's always protests through the city because they want the date changed for that, because they call it Invasion Day.
Exactly, and that's that's what's very interesting. I was actually during this time in Perth, even though like the main event was also like more like in the east, like in Sydney and so on. And it was crazy because, yeah, exactly, many people go on the streets to actually protest against this day, and it's funny because the other half is like, no, we are proud to be Australians, we are going on the street for it.
Yeah.
So both kind of want to respect each other, but like with a very different background. And the problem is kind of like how this day originated, because it kind of comes from the fact that during this time, basically the original society was basically left out and not part actually of this kind of like celebration, which
I don't celebrate it.
It's very wrong. But then again, you're like in Sydney, you see like they actually put a lot of effort into like also showing at least the traditions. For instance, it's very cool to see with the light shows.
And
they have like
true,
these drone shows, or like they paint the whole like opera house into a specific color theme. Then you have like the original flag there. So that's pretty cool. And then again, we have kind of these unspoken topics as well, like in Germany, because like of our past and so on, which are like very sensitive topics where you can see kind of like the same. So it's just like very interesting also for us, probably because we look on your country as like outsiders, so we can like judge a bit differently. The same for you probably now in Germany than you can basically being a native from Australia.
Yeah, definitely. I would say one of the things I like about Germany more than Australia, I don't know, maybe just because I am a tourist, I guess, or a visitor, I'm actively seeking to do more things. Like, I want to go see more and do more because I'm in a new place, whereas at home I'm like, oh, well, I've lived here my whole life. Doesn't really matter. But, like, in Berlin, they've got, like, festivals all the time and, like, street raves, and not that I'm the biggest techno head ever, but I don't know, it's just cool. I feel like there's a lot more community here. Like, that, like, members of the public just want to do more and, like, you know.
It's also a different kind of diversity. I think while like Sydney feels a lot more diverse on the first side when it comes to like all the internationals being here than like Germany, like in general. I mean, Berlin is very special.
Yeah,
like
special
exactly,
thing,
right?
I
it's very.
To say,
But then again, we are also like in the student bubble, and then you can kind of grasp the differences. But like also from the whole system point of view, because like. Yeah, Sydney is just a more commercial city, or like follows a more commercial system, I would say, than, for instance, like the university system in basically Europe does, like taking out like Great Britain and so on. When we arrived at UTS and actually heard how expensive it is to afford university, like study fees go up to basically like more than 10,000 euros, like $20,000 a semester, which is crazy.
The Australian fees?
Yeah, if you're a foreigner, and then you still have to basically afford housing, public transport, all the stuff, it gets crazy expensive. And then you have all the people from the different countries, but you only have basically the top 10% of their countries. And that's kind of like a very interesting diversity. Whereas if you're in Berlin, it feels more like you see a little bit of everything. Totally. And then again, we are like coming into this like very specific environment directly in the center as well. You said you're also like a little bit further out. And it feels... It's good. It's like, it's a lot of fun, but like the longer you live there, I live there like now a year, Henrik, like half a year, you can basically understand the differences a little bit better and like put it into a bigger frame.
I think that is also like quite interesting. For example, like I was in Australia for one semester. Florian was also there planned for one semester, but then he liked it so much that he extended for one further semester. And yeah, well, I mean,
that's great. It's just like the opportunity that has been given. That's also what you have to value a lot. Like basically, because it's a partner program, we get the chance as UniPotsdam students to go to study at UTS for free. So we don't have to pay study fees. Of course, there's still the cost of the flight and
the
accommodation.
Cost, yeah.
Exactly. But like with promos, like the scholarship and so on, it actually covers quite a bit.
Yeah,
and
that would cover a lot.
Exactly. And
fees, wow.
It's very different from like working holidays. It's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
And then you see, because I also did some exchange in Spain before, it's so different from Europe. And it's also very interesting to see like the Asian culture and basically get in touch with them, because that's something that we are, at least from my point of view, miss a lot in Europe. That's like very European, but then again, there's so many other like countries in the world that are usually like not that represented, also such as Latin Americans, which are like, which you meet heaps, because like I lived in Bondi, and then I was like wondering, why is everyone speaking Spanish? And that was pretty cool. And then you have like the like volleyball community, so it's like a very different lifestyle. It's very engaging, and I just have the feeling time passes so quickly. And then like I just thought, actually, I'm there one semester, got lucky, got extended, and was like, now the second semester has passed. It's crazy, and that kind of shows like how good it is, because like in Germany, everything, or especially if you're studying there where you come from, you always have your routine, and it just kind of like the time also blends in, but you do not have the feeling you make that much progress. In Australia, it just gives you like a new opportunity to start and like do stuff, and I really appreciate that. Then again, I think I would have probably also done it like in a different city, but basically Sydney is kind of like the best standard you can get. Like I spoke with people that were like not that happy for some time, and they were still saying like the baseline is still 5 out of 10, because I'm just in Sydney. It's like a great city. It's like I cannot complain. You have the beach nearby. It's not.
Why do they like it? That's so funny.
It's like, I think mostly because it's a very fast moving city, so people are there like just especially like in the like suburbs, like eastern suburbs near the beach and so on, also in the center, are just there short term. So it's really hard to make like long-term meaningful relationships.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that's kind of like a little bit different from Europe. I think it's in general the problem. If you go to another country as an international, you bind quite quickly with the people that are in a similar position. But those are also the people that are more likely to leave again, or like are like a little bit more extroverted, and then again have like many friends, but like you don't have that many like few good friends. And
yeah,
that can be kind of like draining. And then there's still the cultural differences, of course. So as you said, you are like not the biggest techno head.
I do like it now.
That's good, exactly. And we were like, I think both Hendrik and me can kind of say like, Sydney music is kind of hard to bear with if you are not a little bit tipsy. And then you want to get tipsy and you're like, what are the alcohol prices? And you're like, you cannot buy a cocktail in a club because it's so expensive.
20 Australian dollars.
Yeah. And the only thing that's affordable is like wine in like
plastic bags.
Yeah, plastic bags, which is called goon.
Goon, yeah.
And you drink it the first time and you're like waking up the next day and you're like, what is this headache?
No, well, it's different. I was whinging to you guys before about money, but I will say Europe has very cheap alcohol, which is fantastic.
Like even at the airport, like I could see like all the people like looking at the prices of like the liquor, because there was no tax because it's duty free, and everyone's like, well, I just have to go to the airport, buy a cheap flight ticket to buy alcohol here at duty free, because it's so ridiculous. Then again, you said it, right? It's like the costs of, apart from living, for like, I think, groceries and so on, are pretty similar. For instance, fuel in Australia is like 40% cheaper.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
So it kind of, they're like, there are a lot of things that equal out.
Yeah, I've noticed the fuel prices here are really, really high. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to afford it if I had a car here. I don't think I would be able to afford petrol.
Or you wouldn't need to pay at least tolls, as in Sydney, which is ridiculous as well.
Sydney tolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're crazy.
So you have to imagine, like, you just drive through the city. And
some tunnels and then...
Yeah, and you're like, we went to Hunter's Valley, so it's like 1.5 hours up of Sydney. Went to, like 1 day wine festival. It was so good, like, with live music, heaps of friendly people, super good vibe. We went back and we're, like, back and forth. $80 of tolls. It was more than the
How
fuel.
Did you have a car? Who had a car?
Oh, I've got some nice friends. I, like, met some friends along the way who were like, oh, Florian, you want to join us? And those are the Australians. They're, like, so friendly, so welcoming. It's nice. So that's kind of the thing. You need to kind of also go outside the, like, study circle, I think.
That's one thing we can talk about. So, like, after arriving in Australia, how you get used to living there, how you find people that have, like, similar interests and everything. And I would say in Australia at UTS, they have a well-made system where you have a full week of introduction to university, to how everything works, to like getting to know other people, having some kind of events, some kind of parties. So a really, really nice atmosphere to get to know some other people. that are mostly also international students, which is then a bubble you get into. But on the other hand, you quickly bond with people that are in the same situation as you are, and also just like want to get to know some new people. So I found that quite nice and quite enjoyable to have this kind of environment where you can easily get to know people.
Definitely.
Get your friend group. I don't know, how was it for you, April, here?
Yeah. I live in a student dorm, so just naturally I see people all the time that are students, and you're forced into an environment where you just naturally are talking to people, meeting people all the time. I really like the people that I live with, so that's been great. I am finding that when I will, especially when I first got here, because there's a few other Australian girls that are in Potsdam the same amount of time as me, it was really easy just to gravitate towards each other as friends.
It happens the same with our German group as well. Like, we kind of, like,
it's easy to do, but
stick together.
I have been, well, I definitely made some more friends since, but not so many German people, like, just mainly international students, because they're all in my classes. Like, obviously, a German native speaker isn't going to take a B1 German class with me.
I feel like it's the same in Australia. So you get to know a lot of international students, especially if you live in a student dormitory, as I did. And then I think, Florian, you did something else. So you tried to get out of the student dorm life quite quickly and then moved away, moved in some normal housing, normal flats, where you got more exposed to getting in touch with Australians.
I wish, yeah. I mean, I diverged from, like, the student residency because I felt like that's not my vibe anymore. Maybe after 5 years of studying was just, like, I was feeling, like, a little bit too old. Because, like, kind of, like, the experience living in it's amazing on the first side. It's, like, 600 people in, like, a 21-level student dorm with, like, a nice, like, rooftop, like, occasional parties and so on. Very, like, good atmosphere. But then again, it can also be a little bit draining, especially if you actually also want to study and have, like, some privacy. So I was also, like, wait, why am I actually, like, in Sydney now if I'm, like, not even close to the beach?
I
was
that.
Then just like, well, what about Bondi? Like, so basically Bondi is, like, the most famous beach in Australia. And I was like,
summer's
coming up.
Bondi,
I was,
of all places.
Exactly, right? And I was like, well, the connection to university is still quite good. I just had to be on site 2 times. There were still, like, some COVID restrictions. And I was like, maybe meet some more, like, natives here. Then again, I actually bounded a lot more with, like, the Latin American community with whom I played, like, volleyball on a daily basis. I mean, also tried some surfing and some other sports. It was quite good. But you kind of, again, it's Bondi is also considered one of the biggest bubbles. You always tend to, like, get into one group and stick there. I had, like, some of my, like, neighbors were, like, Australian and, like, from the UK, kind of, like, that have immigrated there.
Massive.
I did quite
UK
a bit, exactly
there, hey,
did quite a bit with them as well. But as you said, I think it's, like, really hard to stay in touch and become good friends with people that live there, like, basically all their life, because they have, like, they're so stable, and they also know you're just there temporarily. So they are kind of, like, afraid of putting too much energy into something that they have already realized will not, like, last that long. Because I've spoken with them, and many people are like, oh, I had good friends here as well from Germany before, and you can feel like, oh, I'm basically, like, the next German in their, like, queue, right?
Yes.
And it's probably the same for you being Australian. It's like, oh, I also did, people say, like, oh, I also had a good Australian friend or something, and you're like,
well, you extended your stay to an extra 6 months in Australia, like an extra semester.
Yeah.
Mine is an exchange. I do a double degree, so I do sound design and then international studies. So being here for a whole year, like, goes towards credit points for home. Like, I don't know, it's a different system, but it's very uncommon, I found, for Europeans on Erasmus to be here for longer than 6 months.
Yes.
So the people that I've become friends with are going home now. So I'm going traveling on Thursday, and when I get back, they're all going to be gone. So we're going to have to start from square one, meeting new people again, which is fine. Like, you know, that's what this year's about. But you really realize the impermanence and, like, the temporary nature of, like, the experience.
I felt it a lot as well when you, like, left Hendrik, and basically, like, also because
all the people.
Exactly. I intended that you stay one semester. So even though I had, like, my Bondi community and also, like, a couple other friends from, like, other events I've been to, I realized, damn, like, my main group of friends was, like, from the first semester, and they are, like, gone now. And, yeah, long story short, you need to kind of I think, plan a little bit ahead if you want to actually stay longer in the country. And for me, I mean, it was quite spontaneous that I got, like, the confirmation to stay longer. And I was like, well, like, let's make the best out of it. And I mean, it worked quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's always then, like, a new adjustment, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, on the other hand, you just know that there's enough people that are also international students where you can easily bond and
mm-hmm.
easily find people
mm-hmm.
that you want to spend time with. And then depending on how long you stay, you can probably also easily find people that also stay longer. But as you mentioned, it's not so common to do a 2-semester exchange.
No, not at all.
Most is just like 1 semester and then you're back. And I mean, if you're not called Florian, you just go back then. Why did you decide to stay longer in Australia?
Oh, it's actually quite interesting because I decided during studies, because I mean, it's my personal opinion, but the courses I took were not really like challenging me as much as I was expecting it to
in
be.
Because
UTS is actually quite high up in the rankings, right? So I was like, this will be probably pretty challenging. But maybe due to the nature of like the courses you can select, because they require so many prerequisites, you get into like the little bit easier course.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the same for you when you did like some architecture courses, Hendrik.
Yeah.
I decided to, well, because of Chris, actually, also like another friend of us from HBI who went, he was at Macquarie University, to go to some like networking events.
Yeah.
And then basically found some potential like employers and was just like, oh, hey, let's check in. Is there basically the possibility to work? And usually they would be like, man, you're on a student visa, you're here 6 months. Like, but in the end, they were kind of like, yeah, sure. If you're like interested, if you're keen, because like Australian work, like, the company culture there and also just in general like the demand in like skilled people is really high, especially also in IT, cybersecurity, cloud, because we have both have like an IT background, Hendrik and me.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yeah, give it a try. I went through it and then kind of got the opportunity to also like work alongside my study with them. And
did you keep your scholarship or did you have to pay the second one?
So I did not get a second scholarship. I mean, I got the... Basically, I did not need to pay study fees again, which was amazing.
Good.
But we like, there's a difference between like the scholarship on top of the study fees. So if you get basically like some additional pay to lower the cost in general, and then there's like this support by the university so you don't have to pay study fees, which is part of the agreement.
Very nice.
If you want to check out the scholarship, it's called Promos Scholarship.
Yeah.
At the University of Potsdam, just check out the website. There you can find some information and it really makes sense to just apply for that. Because then you can lower your amount of money you spend by quite a lot. So go for it.
Yeah, and it's also pretty easy in comparison. It's like similar to Erasmus. If anyone has run through like the whole system, it's basically like an additional application to the one you already did with some like other like documents you need to provide. And then it's like 2 hours of work basically for like the potential of quite a lot of financial support.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
How is it for you? Studying in Germany, price or money-wise?
Well, it's free. Like, German universities are free. So that's been a big change. I've already got, I think, I'm up to $30,000 in loans. I've got that bill racked up for Australia. UTS also covers my flights here and back home. My visa cost is covered. So they do try and help you a little bit, but obviously I've got to pay for all my own rent and travel expenses. Unfortunately for the girls that came to Potsdam from Australia, there was no scholarships on offer, because I definitely would have applied, but there are other options, so we don't have to come to Potsdam. You can also go to Cologne or Tübingen. I think I said it before, Saarbrücken, I think, was another option.
Saarbrücken. Interesting, though, that you chose Germany in general, right?
Yes, well, I did German for my Abitur, my HSC,
the
Australian version. I think I was better at speaking German when I was 17 versus now. but living here's definitely helped me.
That's interesting, right? It's so easy to get along with English, probably.
Oh, yeah. So easy.
I mean, especially here in this region, because, I mean, in Germany in general, it can be quite difficult,
mm-hmm.
but especially in Berlin, as such an international city,
you
just get along with English so well, and people just don't even talk to you in German if they realize your German is not...
But when I first got here, if they responded back to me in English when I was trying out my German, I would just give up and go straight into English and be like, okay, it's fine, whatever. try again next time. But now, if someone responds back to me in English, I just am so adamant. I keep saying it in German until they understand what I'm saying. Like, how am I going to learn?
I mean, that's I think the most important thing. That if you're here and want to practice German, you can just do it and just keep talking in German
to the
people.
Until they get really annoyed at you, and then you're like, okay.
But how were your like expectations? Did you think you would like bond with more Germans and like internationals?
What's really surprised me is, well, I mean, not surprising, but it didn't really register with me how bad Australia is with people knowing more than one language. Especially in my like immediate friendship group and my family, not a single person that I'm friends with or a single person in my family can speak two languages. Everyone can only speak English. And I feel like that's so abnormal for you guys. Like, everyone can at least speak German and English. You have to do English for 8 years in school, so that's such a great opportunity to just naturally have a bit of English anyway, even if it wasn't your best subject in school. You're forced into it for ages. So I don't know, I'm just really jealous, I guess, that that wasn't forced upon me, but being from an English-speaking country, it's not.
But still then good kind of that you are open to basically speak another language. I think that's the most important thing.
Definitely, definitely.
Also, what I still wanted to say is like, what I realized at UTS a lot, because also my expectations were like, I will meet heaps of Australians in my courses. And then, because universities are very much designed to attract foreigners as well, because that's how they make money.
It's because
Australians usually pay like a fourth of the study fees of like the international students. So you end up with like in my courses, I had like 80% of Asian like fellow students, and it was crazy. So like my group project, I never had a single Australian. It was always mostly like Chinese or Indian people.
You get that
sometimes
a lot.
Occasionally you also get like UK person or something, but it's very difficult actually depending on your studies. I know my other friend is studying sports. He meets more Australians, but for like IT and like engineering or like I think even architecture probably. It's very, very different from what you initially expect.
It's definitely to do with what you choose to study. Like, I did a year of biomedical engineering for my first year and decided I didn't like it, but the difference of people in that course versus what I do now, which is music and sound design, heaps more Aussies in the sound design course, and the engineering course, it was a lot of international students from China, a lot of international students from India, like just totally different demographics. And a lot of the time I was one or two of the only girls in the class, but that's totally just with what you choose. I don't think that's really
for sure. That's also like actually one of the like sad things I think about like HBI, like, or like our programs here, they're super German. There's still so many courses that are basically just plain German courses, so you basically
like
don't give other
German.
People, yeah, exactly, yeah, you don't
you
give other people
the choices,
yeah, the chance to basically participate. I think it's getting better, and you have like some. We also like get like an international pro. Like, I'm not sure if it's an international program.
Yeah, it's already in place.
Exactly, but also for the other course, like also for you, right, it can restrict you quite a bit. Like when you have to look, oh, is this English? You have to ask the professors. It's quite cumbersome how this has not become standard yet, that the teaching language, at least in master, is English.
It's really restricting. Like, I wanted to choose some music courses so that I was staying at least somewhat relevant to what I actually want to do when I get home. And there's just nothing in English. And I can't sit through a German course
that's really too difficult.
No, I
can imagine.
I'd be disadvantaging myself a lot by doing that.
So, like, kind of speaking of also, like, now it's being summer, like, travel plans, or in general, like, what's your plan there? Also with, like, the friends, is it with friends that you met here, or, like, alone?
I've already done a lot. I've blown through a lot of money already, travelling through the semester. But I'm starting off on Thursday. I'm going to Sorrento and Puglia and Bari, like, in Italy. Then Mykonos, Naxos, Paros.
You're taking all the warm and nice places.
Yeah. Then I'm going to Albania for a week. And then I'm doing Montenegro, Bosnia, Slovenia. And then I think maybe back down to Croatia. And then if I've got any money left, I don't know, We'll see. But then I'm meeting my parents in London, and then we're doing Poland.
So Henrik and me are just here smiling and looking at each other's faces, like, because we haven't traveled like half of these.
Really?
It's so funny, because probably in Australia it's the same, because we probably saw more of Australia than you did.
Probably.
Because we just thought, well, we are there, we have to.
I've never been to Melbourne.
No. It's so close.
I know.
I mean, close, right?
Like... yeah, but it's a cheap plane.
Yeah, and I mean, why I called it close is because Australia seems to be a country with a couple of big cities that don't look so far apart on the map.
Yeah,
but if you're in Australia, you realize that all the distances are so huge and so long. So if you, for example, want to go from Sydney to Melbourne, it's, I think, 1,200 kilometers.
10-hour drive.
Yeah, 10-hour drive. Yeah. So I did it twice with a car.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
It's a 5-hour flight from Sydney to Perth. Like, in Europe, you need to look for a city that's basically not in Europe anymore.
Yeah.
Such basically like going to the Canary Islands, which would have the same flight duration, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then like you pay basically €500 back and forth for like a flight like that. It's heaps. And then again, I mean, of course, you are like
heaps.
Traveling more. Now. Yeah, I have to say like vocabulary is kind of making a U-turn on me.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, it's like, also if you're abroad, you kind of are more willing to spend some money. I mean, I know, like, you went Fiji as well, right?
Yeah.
And then you're kind of, like, doing trips, which people, like, usually do for, like, a honeymoon or so. It's just quite crazy.
Yeah.
Fiji's
I mean,
great, though.
If you're there and know that you can work there, because, I mean, that's also a thing that we didn't mention yet, but in Australia,
yeah,
and I think also in Germany, it's easily possible to find a job with okay salary, so... $20-$30 per hour, which is quite good for German.
True, the casual
yeah.
jobs there are really good. It's super easy to get into. It's like definitely easier than in Germany to get like a part-time job because they're like in high demand. And here in Germany, you would be restricted because of your
travel plans.
mean, yeah, okay,
yeah.
That's your answer.
No, seriously.
But also your language, I would say, because
yeah.
you still they would pretty much
yeah.
want you to speak some like.
Journey. I did a couple shifts working for a restaurant, Mi Culpa in Potsdam. And I was fine. I could get myself around being a waitress there.
Yeah.
And they were nice. They wanted me to work for them. And then I told them the dates I was traveling. And they said,
and they were like, who
they
are
said,
you?
Absolutely not. Who do you think you are?
Love that.
No, they were very understanding, but just said, you're not the person for us. You need someone that works more than that.
So I have time Wednesday the 3rd.
Yeah.
Then Thursday the 24th.
Yeah. But casual work in Australia is definitely more of a thing. Like you can pick up a few shifts in a week and then go away for 2 weeks and come back. And they'll let you do that. Whereas here it's more contractual, I found.
Yeah, true. But I mean, on the other hand, also connected to Berlin again, you will find plenty of jobs that you can do without having to speak perfect German.
True, like especially if you're in Berlin. I think Potsdam is a little bit harder,
yeah.
but
you're super close to Berlin, so you could also work there if you want to.
Yeah.
Still, I would say like Australia is more thankful when it comes
yeah.
to like basically pay for like people like with casual jobs, because here we have like more like the it's called like mini job. Like I think if you want to say 450 euro job, but I think it's like 520 now. But like just regarding tax and basically bureaucracy in Australia, it's so easy. Just like get a form and then you work there. If you don't even need to worry about tax, if you're like, because you will be below the limit. So that's pretty easy. I even know people that work in construction there or something because it's so well paid.
Yeah, you just
and
need
still,
a car.
Yeah, exactly. And still quite easy to get into and they trust you so much. It's crazy. Like they give you a car, let you drive out 4 hours into like the nothingness of Australia to do some funny stuff, probably hold up a sign and get paid. So it's funny. It's like very, very different, but also like definitely worth checking out. And I think, I mean, we know some people that basically extended to do some working holidays afterwards, or like continue like traveling 3 more months in like other cities, and they basically worked part time to finance their traveling afterwards. And
yeah,
that's
I think
also
that's
the,
easily possible to if you know, hey, I have to study a bit and I want to spend some time with my courses, then you have some semester breaks where you can travel, and afterwards you have 2 months that are fully flexible and where you can like just use the time if you save enough money in the meantime to travel around, to see some parts of Australia and explore the world a bit more.
Yeah, so to conclude, I would also like say it's like just a great experience. There's like so much to talk about. Like it's hard to like put into like one podcast, and also like just topic wise. So if you're like more interested, I would say, into like how it actually works to study there and like have more like information about the like application process, how does like University of Potsdam compare to UTS studying wise, we have also another podcast in like
in German.
Yeah, in German actually, true. Where you can listen to that. But I think for today, I think we'll head over more time to April and Henrik for some concluding statements.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if this podcast is going to Australian listeners, but I think there might be a chance that it's getting sent. So if there are any Aussie people listening, the program that I'm doing now, which is an ICS in-country study for international studies, I think I'm the last year or the second last year to do it. UTS won't offer it anymore. But that doesn't mean you still can't do what I'm doing. It's just a six-month exchange program instead. And Potsdam has a really good relationship with UTS, so there's always spots for people to come here, as well as the other places that I said. And you don't have to do international studies to be able to do this, you just have to apply to do the exchange, and then you can, whatever major you're studying, you can pick up the subjects overseas. I would recommend making sure that the university has courses in English before you get here, because then you'll really do yourself in if you don't have any German skills. But yeah, UTS offers so many countries. You don't have to do Germany, but Germany's great.
Yeah, and maybe to conclude from my side, so it was a super, super nice experience studying in Australia, and I can recommend to everyone to just do a semester abroad, no matter where you do it. Mm-hmm. It's a super, super enriching experience for your life, because you get to know new people, get to know new friends that you will have for your lifetime. So I think all of us will meet some people that we met during our semester abroad. Again, so for example, I will meet some flatmates from Australia next week, so you find some bonds with people that will last at least a bit, or forever, let's see. And yeah, so it's super nice experience to just get to know people, to get out of your comfort zone. And yeah, if you have any further questions to Florian or myself, or to April, we are open, so reach out to us.
Yep.
So be open and have a good one.
Exactly. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.